Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
If I haven't had the opportunity already of meeting you, my name is Doug, and I'm really glad that you are here today. We're a full house today. I'm glad we got room for everybody. That's very cool. So we are beginning today three Sundays focusing on our upcoming transition. As you know, Linda and I will be stepping down from leadership, and Sunday, May 28th is our last Sunday here. And so about this Sunday and next Sunday, I'd have the opportunity maybe of just sharing some things that are on my heart in terms of our way forward. And then Luke will be speaking here at the Fort Langley campus on the third Sunday, and Ryan will be doing the same at the Willoughby campus as we complete our series called Moving On. Moving on. Let me just give you a quick update in terms of transition. We have, as I explained a couple of weeks ago, a transition team, and they have already met once. They met for a second time on Monday of this past week. There are a number of people on that team. I'm pleased to tell you that Lynn Gettle, who is just a great woman of God, and we love her so much, she's been appointed as the chairperson of that transition team. We're very happy about that. And John Withers, who is from our Willoughby campus, will be the secretary of the group, and so we're really happy with this team and continuing to pray God's will and way as we move forward. So would you please continue to pray for them and for all of us as we move forward and listen to what the Lord has to say. If you've got your Bible with you or your phone available and your Bible app is there, what I'd like you to do is turn to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 16 and 17 over the next few minutes here. We'll be kind of capsulizing verse 17, but if you want to find that place in your Bible, that would be cool. Of course, it'll be on the screen for you as well. One of the things that you notice about Matthew's gospel, about a third of the way in, there's a question that arises, and that question is about fasting. And the question comes from Jesus' disciples to the disciples of John the Baptist. And so the disciples of John the Baptist ask Jesus this question. They say, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" And so Jesus, as he often does, he replies with a question, which I think is kind of cool. He says, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with a groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken from them and then they will fast." So in a sense, what's happening here is that John the Baptist's disciples are in this place of mourning, and that's why they're fasting. What are they mourning? Well, they're mourning the sinfulness of the world. That's really the heart of where they were at. And they were fasting in the preparation of the Messiah, who, of course, would change things. So in essence, John the Baptist's message was a kind of a pre-good news message, and it focused on the law and the need for the people to repent. But the disciples of Jesus, they were responding to a new freedom, a new covenant that focused on life, which came when people not only turned from their sin, but turned to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so, as John the Baptist's disciples stood face to face with the Messiah, with Jesus, they are faced with this new paradigm, this change, this new way of thinking, because something very soon would be changing in their lives, so powerful that it would absolutely change their worldview, and it would change their lives completely. As Jesus had told them, there would be, again, a time for fasting. And there would be a time for mourning when he was taken away. But he's saying to them, not today. Today was a new day, a day to discover and to celebrate this new way that was actually the fulfillment of the old way. It was from the old covenant to the new covenant. And really, to provide the picture for that change and how it would work, he brings up two metaphors, which brings us to Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 16. He says, "Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before." And to verse 17, where we're going to be camping on. "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old wineskins would burst with the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that they are both preserved." So the time had come for John the Baptist's disciples to make some significant adjustments in the way that they thought, and in fact, the way that they lived. See, there was new life awaiting for them, and that's represented in the illustration that Jesus provided with of the new wine and the new wineskin. Now, a bit of historical background. In those days, wine was stored in these water-tight goat skins. And so new wine would be poured into the new wineskins because the new wine, as it fermented, would expand. And so the new bag would expand with it. So new wine would never be added to old wineskins because those wineskins were already stretched to their capacity, much like me. and they could hold no more, and so that really was the point. And so the combination of the old and the new would ultimately ruin the skin, and it would spill the wine. And so again, in this picture, what Jesus is saying is that the ways of the old covenant, illustrated by the old wineskin, they had served their purpose. And that wineskin had served its purpose, and it would be left behind and be replaced with the new ways of the new covenant, the next progressive step, if you will, which would lead to this new and expanded life. Very cool picture. So I think in face of our upcoming transition in leadership, I think that these verses for us can also illustrate the value of change, and the importance for us to move on, our moving on in what we believe absolutely that God has for his church. So Jesus provides this striking picture of how God-breathed change means progressing, even from a past rich paradigm into a new place, refreshing and growing together as community in his church. Now, it's true that not all change is easy. We get that. You know, I remember when Linda and I first came to Living Waters just over 11 years ago now. And for us, you know, we were so excited, and we knew that it was a time to introduce a refreshed vision and for this house, and we were a part of that. And man, we were so excited. And the pastors before us who had just left, Ken and Eunice Gilardi, they had been called here as well to build the physical church, and that's what they did. They built this beautiful building for us, and it was ready to be used. And so in his time, God called Linda and I and a growing ministry team to this house. That Darcy and Leanne McAllister were there, and Luke Knight was there. We were called to build this house through the people that he would call to join us. And this was really, it was exciting for us. It was clearly a season for us to move on, a season to have a new wineskin and ensure that the right fit would be there for the expanded vision that God had for his church. Well, while we were excited for the assignment, not everybody was as excited as we were. When we arrived, as you may know, we had about 40 or 50 people who were attending Living Waters at the time. And they had this understandable comfort, which is found often in a small congregation. They had social circles that had formed over time, and they'd built really this beautiful, very tight community. And really, comfort was found in what they knew best. The fit for them was secure, and it was familiar. But secure and familiar doesn't necessarily mean that the status quo is best. Listen, often, if we insist on staying in the familiar, we risk missing the life of the new wine and the increased capacity that a new wineskin can bring. Of course, when we arrived, we needed to be sensitive to the community that was here, and we were. We loved on them, but we also felt, as a team, that we needed to be straight up in what we felt that God had intended for his church, and that was that God would be expanding the Living Waters family. And for a few, a change to a new wineskin seemed too much. It just seemed too much. And more than once, we heard a few people say to us, I don't want this church to grow. I don't want to have new people here. I would like it to be exactly the same as it is. So change would prove hard for a few that were were here. And in fact, they left the church because of it. And you know, that was hard for us. That really was hard for us because we knew that they would miss out on the incredible ride that God had ahead for his church. See, he had shown us what it would look like. He had shown us this. And we knew that they would miss out. Well, within a few months, the Lord, always faithful to his vision, he began to grow the church. And people came. Why? Only God knows, but they came. And they came, and they came, and formed this beautiful, authentic, rich, deepening community. We were here, and faith grew, and life grew, and trust grew, the church grew. And within the first 12 months, we had moved in faith from one gathering to two gatherings so we could make room for all that God would bring. So my point in telling that story is this. God-ordained change is good for us. Let me repeat that. God-ordained change is good for us. It is good for his church. And you know, as leaders, one of the most important responsibilities that we have is to do our best at hearing the voice of the Lord and to walk in obedience in both our coming and in our going. Ken and Eunice Gilardi, the pastors who were before us, did just exactly that. They came for the season to build this church physically, and when that season was finished, they moved on to a new season for them. And for Linda and I, it's exactly the same thing. We came for a season in which God would use us as best we could to his glory, and for now, for us, that season has ended, and it's time for some new wine and a new wineskin. It's time to make room for God-ordained change. You know, one of the difficulties with change is anticipating the unknown, of course. And there are always lots of questions. How will a change in leadership affect me? How will a change in leadership affect our team? How will a change in leadership affect our community and how we do things? You know, some of us have been through difficult change. And we know that not all change is necessarily good. For example, Christmas in my house. We celebrate with the colors red and green. God forbid that we would ever bring in purple or blue. That kind of change is not acceptable in our home. I hang our ornaments in exactly the same place year after year after year. In fact, I can tell you right now, I'm very religious about it. It's important that doesn't change. If you don't have red and green and you have purple and blue as your Christmas colors, it's actually sin. And so, just saying. So for sure, some of us have been through some difficult change for sure, and not all change is necessarily good. But listen, when the Lord is in the change, it is the best way forward for his church. Even if some aspects of that change, like saying goodbye, are difficult. Scripture brings us to some strong points to consider in all of this. And first, it confirms that change is part of how God does things. And many of you will recognize this, Ecclesiastes 3. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Secondly, Scripture declares that God has good plans and intentions over us and for us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That's for us. Scripture also reminds us of the faithfulness of God, even in the midst of change and not knowing. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is with us through the change. And listen, I think this is important to say as well. Not all change is wholesale change. And so using the illustration of the new wine and the wineskin, I think that we can be confident that the maker of the wine, while enriching and adding to the ingredients, will keep the vital elements of the recipe in place. In other words, the good crafting that God has done here will remain consistent to his preferred future for his church. For example, the very values that have helped us define our DNA, our love of Christ-centered community, our desire for authenticity before God and with one another, the generosity that has helped us to demonstrate who Jesus is through our helping hands and our financial giving, our value of spiritual formation that reminds us that as diverse as we all are welcome here, and that we will remain determined to major on the major and not major on the minors, and we will learn from each other in our differences. Those things will be as they have been. Transition will not mean that we will feel any less inclined to recognize the spiritual gifts that have been given to every believer and to see them released amongst us. No matter a new wine or wineskin, our value of worship, free, open, individual, community worship, welcoming the Holy Spirit, the movement of the Spirit, that is not going to change. Nor will the course of our mission to reach those who have yet to meet Jesus. See, those things don't change because they are biblical values and they are a part of our DNA as a community and have been for the last 11 years. See, the recipe for the wine remains true to its primary elements. It's simply being brought into a refreshed and an enhanced place of greater capacity with the new wineskin. Now, I know this to be true. A number of you have come from less than stellar situations and transitions in churches where you have come from. And I know that because a number of you have shared that with me, and that experience has made you a little wary of the transition that we are now facing. I can't speak into your experience of that transition, but I can reassure you. In fact, I can reassure all of us in this house as to why I believe this transition is going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Number one, first, it's because we're healthy. We are a healthy community. We know Jesus. We stand on the same page of those unifying biblical values that I just spoke about. We know we are in Christ, and we know that we're all a work in progress. And even though we are an eclectic bunch, we're healthy because we understand the fact that we are one. We're one. And that our spiritual health is relative not only to a personal relationship with Jesus, it is reliant upon our relationship one with the other. And listen, being healthy does not suggest we're perfect because we're not. We're not perfect. But I'll tell you what, knowing that makes us even healthier. Our united heartbeat is strong. See, the breath of the Holy Spirit is in us. And we're positioned to become stronger as his church. We will take our Jesus-infused health into transition and beyond. Second, there is vibrant life here. Vibrant life. You know, to me, vibrancy speaks of energy and it speaks of vitality. And as this community continues to discover the very essence of life is in Jesus, as we continue with that and to press into all that means, there is going to be amongst us even greater vitality because it is in Christ we find abundant life. And God continues to pour in his life abundantly to us. A vibrant life, I believe, is a changing life, a growing life, one that is on the move, that presses forward and takes steps of faith together. And that vibrancy is going to help us as we move into transition and beyond. Third, we are reliant. In fact, our health and our vibrancy is conditional upon this, our vibrancy. See, our capacity is not found in our own strength. Our capacity is not found in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. And so with the Spirit active in us, alive and active, we listen to God's heart. We've learned to do that. We listen to God's heart before our own. And we find our strength and ability far outreaches our own limited means when we are walking with Jesus. It's because we're reliant upon the Holy Spirit as we move into transitioning to a new leader, we can be confident in God's leading. And we can be confident in the choice of a new lead that God has for us. Fourth, we're hopeful. We're a hopeful bunch. Being a hopeful people means that we take on the posture of faith and we absolutely believe God's best for us. Our community understands hope. I know that we understand hope because I have spoken and I've prayed with people who have hope in their lives, and really today it's the only thing that is getting them ahead to the next day into the next. We understand hope here through the dark times, through the hard times, through all of that. Amen. It's true, isn't it, though? Whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in, whether it's good or whether it's bad or whether it's somewhere in between, through it all, we hold to God the hope of God's best for us because God's best is for us. And we should hope for nothing less. We should hope for nothing less in this time of change except God's best for his church. Why would we believe for less than that? Fifth, we're expectant. Expectancy is really tied closely, I think, to hopefulness, and is because it's bathed in this irrepressible faith. See, we can expect God to continue to move mountains here at Living Waters. See, in the past, this community has held to a high level of expectancy when we went from one gathering to two. We had faith that God would fill the house. And then we went from two gatherings to three, and we had faith that God would fill the house, and we would begin to expand our influence within the community. And then we had expectancy and faith when God called us to plant our first church in Burnaby, BC, of all places. We took over an old church and helped with a new paradigm there, sent a pastor to help pastor and a team. We had expectancy that God would change that neighborhood through that church, that he would make a difference. And that's exactly what he's doing through City Lights today, through Brett Donald and the team that is there. We had expectancy amongst us. We expected that God would fill his church and make it a powerful part of the Willoughby community as we moved into a second church plant. We had expectancy. There was an expectant nature amongst us. We had faith that God would do it, and God has done that. Positive, faith-based expectancy and prayer, anticipating the rightness of God's choice of a new lead pastor for this community is going to help us through transition and beyond. Believe it. Expect it. Anticipate it. God has more and greater things ahead for Living Waters. I'm not just saying that to tickle your ears. I'm telling you that because that is the truth. God has a greater story ahead for Living Waters. Team is the sixth reason that I believe that transition is going to be good. Team. An incredible ministry team has been assembled here in this house, and they serve with the deepest of love and devotion to this community. I know each of them, and they're like family to me. And I have watched Jesus form these women and men into outstanding leaders who understand the value of leading by example, who will not ask you to do something that they would not do themselves. Leaders who understand that we don't need hierarchy, the hierarchy of a title or a position, but only the Jesus-given opportunity to work shoulder to shoulder with this amazing community. See, we do this as one. We do this as one. And to that point, let me remind you that God has a story for you here. See, God has drawn you here, the right people, to this church for exactly the right time. Living Waters community, you are here because you have heard the invitation of the Lord and you have responded to it. You know that our way forward is much bigger than ourselves. You know that our mission has never been about developing a consumer church, but a family in which we work together and we serve together and we love each other together. And it will be by working together that we will find that our transition to a new wineskin is not something to be afraid of, but in fact, it is something to embrace with faith for the new days that are ahead. Listen, we must remember that transition is not happening to us. It is happening through us and for us. Will transition bring change? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the very point of this transition. It's the very point. The wine will see those additional ingredients that will make it better and stronger, and this new wineskin that will be here that will allow us to expand our capacity. Absolutely, there's going to be God-ordained change. It's a good thing. You know, over my years of leading, I've learned that there are two things that you should know for sure. You should know your strengths, and you should know your limitations. You know, there are things that I love. I absolutely love. I'm passionate about people. I love community. I love the messiness of community. I love story. I love authenticity. I love working in team. I love to see the Church of Jesus grow and become influential in the community it serves. Jesus has graciously allowed us some gifting in those areas, and I'm thankful for the privilege of being able to see them released here. But I also know that I have limitations. And as you leave today, my wife is going to hand you the list. It's a long one. I know I've got limitations. And if there is truth to the axiom that a church is a reflection of its leader, then I even more fully understand the need for the change of the seasons, for this new wineskin. And Linda and I have been able to be here and to bring what we could to this community over the last 11 years, and we've loved doing that. But we know that our work in this season is now come to a close. It's come to an end, and a new leader will bring his or her gifts that I believe are going to fill in the gaps, the great gaps that I've left as a leader. It just happens, and that's going to be one of the positive steps as we move forward with a new lead pastor. Again, this is all about the beauty of seasons. So expect a new lead pastor to bring us to new dimensions of faith. Expect that. Expect a new leader to bring us to new connections with our culture, new ways of reaching the lost, to bring us to new and deeper places of spirit-filled discipleship. See, these are the things to look forward to. These are the things to look forward to. Come alongside one another and embrace change in faith as God moves his church on, as he continues to build us together. I'm going to finish there. And this coming Sunday, I'm going to talk a little bit about unity as we move forward together. So I really would invite you to be there for that, just opportunity to share some thoughts before we head off into this sunset somewhere. Let me just, before I do that, before I end today, is just give you some thoughts in terms of our personal life and where we're heading. We've had lots of opportunity to meet with people and you've been so gracious and so on, but we're a large community and so we don't get a chance to talk to everybody. So we thought it might be wise today to tell you a little bit about what's going to happen with us. So as you've heard, May 28th is our last Sunday here, and our plan is ultimately to take a bit of a break. So Lynn and I are going to take between 3 and 6 months off. We've never done that before. We've worked for 42 years of our lives and we thought, okay, a little bit of a break will be okay. So we're going to be doing that, and we're looking forward to that. There is certainly the possibility of further ministry. I've talked about that before in terms of potentially with our district coming alongside churches that have plateaued or in decline and maybe telling a bit of the Living Water story. So that may or may not happen. We're just going to allow God to speak to us over that time just to be firmed up in that. The other question that people have for us that is consistent is, are you going to be staying at Living Waters? And the answer to that question is no. We won't be staying here. In our tradition, and I think it's a wise tradition, the lead pastor, typically the former lead pastor, moves on to make room for the new lead pastor. And it's just better. It's better for the new lead pastor not to have to worry about the past guy or anything like that. You just allow them, he or she, just to move forward in everything that God has called them. So we're going to stand by that tradition, and so we won't be attending Living Waters when we leave. We'll certainly be thinking about Living Waters. In fact, our plan is we're going to sell our townhouse of 21 years. Oh my goodness, talk about change. I don't even know what walls I'm going to be able to hang my Christmas decorations on, but it's going to be tough. I love change. It's good. And So our plan is actually to sell our townhouse, and then what's going to happen is that we're going to, our plan is to move into Vancouver, into the Commercial Drive area where our children live and our granddaughter. And so we're hoping to be somewhere close there. We're going to rent an apartment somewhere and downsize and do all of that good stuff, and that's what our plan is. So that's our way going forward. Just thought we'd let you know that. So, would you stand, everybody? I'd love to pray over us just before we head off for today. Great to have you here. Great to have so many visitors with us. Lance and Marissa, your family over there, fantastic. You could be a choir. That would be great. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great goodness to us and your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for your church. This is your church, and we give all glory and we give all honor to you for all that you have poured in. And all that you will do, God, you deserve all of that glory. And so, Lord, as we move farther into this time of transition, would you help us, Jesus, to have eyes of faith, hearts to lean forward into what it is that you've got for this community. Oh, God, may we be unified in that. May we stand strong in the things that you've called us to be and embrace this new change with life and with vigor. Oh, God, we can hardly wait to see what you're up to. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you this coming Sunday, if not before.